Okay, so I will call the meeting to order just to get us started. My name is Doris Sorm. I'm the city clerk for the city of Tacoma. We're going to go ahead and go around the table and introduce each and every one of you, sort of if you'll talk a little bit about your background. I will, just for the recorded piece of this, say that we do have a quorum of the commission here. Everybody is in attendance. So again, Diane, would you like to get started with introductions?
Sure. My name is Diane Conway. I'm an attorney. I have been practicing at Gordon Thomas Honeywell for 17 years, and my primary practice areas are environmental land use and real estate.
So I'm Richard Wilkinson. I'm currently Associate Vice Chancellor for HR and Organization Development at UW-Tacoma. And I have 30 years of HR experience, and I think the reason I'm here is because for 15 years I was HR Director for the City of Redmond, strong mayor form, and that's been, in between, I had a considerable opportunity to deal with compensation issues. I worked in global health for 12 years before coming to Tacoma, and dealt with a number of compensation issues overseas, so I have some domestic and international experience in this area. There we go. I'm a veteran of a resident of Tacoma for 18 months. I live a block and a half from City Hall. So.
My name is Terry Mintonidis. I am a CPA. I work for McGranahan Architects, and I have a small practice of my own. So I've been in Tacoma for 8 or 9 years now.
I'm Ron Malm. I'm a chemical dependency professional at Metropolitan Developmental Council, a short history in drug and alcohol counseling, followed by a very long history in construction of our lovely town
and, oh, city,
and county and state.
I'm Robert Anderson. I guess I'm a chemical recovery boiler operator over at what's now newly known as West Rock. I've gone through a couple of name changes in the last year. I've been there for going on 15 years, and I've done many, many other things before that.
I'm Karen Robinson. I am happily retired,
right.
So happy for that. Prior to that, I spent 32 years at Xerox, and then I worked for almost six and a half years for the lottery in Olympia. That was fun. Mm-hmm.
I'm Joe Zwicky. I'm native Tacoma for 50 years now. I have a small business that I've ran for 10 years, and I also moonlight for Olympic Hot Tub Company up in Seattle as their supervisor of their e-commerce department in purchasing. I serve on the Foss Waterway Development Authority Board and the Tacoma Farmers Market Board, and that's about it.
My name is Jennifer Taylor. I'm a deputy city attorney with the city attorney's office, and been with the city attorney's office since 1998. I'm here because part of my practice involves public records and OPMA, so, which is the Open Public Meetings Act. Sorry to speak in short.
So. And she'll be giving us, you,
a pitch.
All, an idea of just how to keep your records while you go through, while you sit on this commission, and really what, you know, the recording and all that, you know, all that sort of stuff, your emails, trails, and all that.
I'm Marissa Tetro. I am your committee liaison. I work here for the city of Tacoma in the HR department. I've been here for about 10 years.
So following this committee, all of the rest of your emails and all the correspondence will be coming from Marissa. So just so that when you see that come in, to sort of pay special attention to that, because that's like the direction of when your next meeting is going to be and any information that she's sending your way. So the next on the agenda is the election of the chair and the vice chair. And then at that point, I'm going to turn the running of this committee over to the chair. We will take nominations. Come on.
Volunteers.
Volunteers.
To be the chair, what is the job of the chair?
So the chair will run the committee. or the commission. And the vice chair will step in the chair's place if the chair can't be here.
It helps if you know Robert's Rules of Order.
So if you do have any kind of idea, although we are sort of loosely following Robert's Rules of Order, because we don't expect any of you to know that, and Marissa does have a little bit of background in Robert's Rules of Order as well as I do, and I will certainly be sort of around at the time of the meetings, depending on when you guys meet. So there will be lots of help. Volunteers?
I'd do either. It doesn't bother me.
Okay, I'll be advice.
Okay, so let's okay, so we have first. Let's talk about the chair. And I'm sorry, I've already.
Terry.
So Terry has volunteered to be the chair of this committee. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay. So we now have a chair of this commission, Terry. So the other. Thing on the floor is Robert to be the vice chair.
Ron.
Oh, Ron. I'm sorry.
All right, it's a really small.
I know. Ron, I'm sorry. So Ron to be the vice chair. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Even though we don't have a motion, so we're going to practice Robert rules right now.
Loosely,
Robert.
Correct.
Yeah.
Bill Barris might copy my Robert's rules. And you know Bill.
Yes, I do. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
And those opposed? So now we have a vice chair. So Terry.
Thank you.
I didn't write the agenda.
And I'll help you sort of along if you'd like. If you would just like, I would be happy to help you.
So along. I don't know whether we're going to call it
okay,
a
committee
report or whatever, but I'm turning it over to
did I put it? Oh,
Jennifer, I think you have just some ground rules that you wanted to talk
so
about.
So I just right, and we just took some ground rules. Did we make a copy for everybody?
Yeah, everybody's got them.
Okay, inside. So if you would just sort of take a look at the ground rules, and it's really just sort of common sense of coming and meeting with a group. You know, meetings begin on time. That we're going to try and end them on time. Really what we're just saying is, you know, playing nice in the sandbox, you know, being respectful of one another, sort of no arguing back and forth. You're just sort of talking about the issues that are on hand. And so if you just want to review those in your spare time, feel free to add to them and bring it back to the committee, and we can sort of talk about it at the next committee meeting. So with that, let's jump right into the Open Public Meetings Act, and I'll call on Jennifer to get us started.
Why is it doing that? Thank you. I don't like this mess.
Oh, because it moves fast.
And we move slow, so can you? I can go next.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have tried to slow this down,
sure.
I'm sorry.
And I will try to slow my voice down. Just by way of background, every board and commission and committee in the city has to undergo what they call open government training. That's by state law. So we'll start you guys out at your first meeting. So this is collapsing the Open Public Meetings Act as well as the public records. And very briefly, the Open Public Meetings Act, or also the OPMA, is codified in the Revised Code of Washington, Chapter 4230. It does apply to this committee. It applies to all the boards and commissions, to the city council, to every subcommittee. And basically what it means is that every meeting is open to the public. And all the business that this committee will do is open to the public. Thank you. So under the OPMA, whenever you have a quorum, you have a meeting, and that means it is subject to the requirements of the Open Meeting Act, which means it must be open, it must be noted to the public, there must be an agenda, all these things that we'll discuss briefly. For purposes of this committee, I don't expect there ever to be anything less than a quorum. On occasion, you can have a meeting if you have like two or three members acting on behalf of the body, but that's not what you need to worry about here. The key word is when action occurs. An action is very broadly construed. Basically, everything that you will be doing would be considered action for purposes of the Open Public Meetings Act. Discussions, votes, taking testimony, all of that. Whether it's the final action, i.e. the decisions that you make on your final report or your final recommendations, everything that you will be doing would constitute action for purposes of the Act. And I did this for a very different body, so you can, can't do secret ballots. And even if you were to go into closed sessions, any final votes would have to be done in public meeting. I don't expect that this body would ever be going into an executive session or a closed session. So as far as the public attending, everybody is allowed to attend. You cannot require people to sign up as a condition to participating in the meeting. People aren't required to speak. you don't have to let them speak if you elect not to. But you have to be consistent in how you're doing it. And also, you can, as chair, you have the authority, Terry, to remove somebody for being disruptive in a meeting.
Thank you, Terry.
And just so you know, sometimes when you're carpooling, you have to be careful because if you're talking about what the committee may be doing, and you have a quorum, that would be a meeting. And if it's not noted for the public, and if people aren't able to ride in the car with you, then that would constitute a violation of the Act. So, there's no problem with carpooling or anything like that. But I would, as a practical point, just urge you to talk about the Mariners or something like that until you actually get to the meeting place. So, thank you. The regular meetings of this this body, there'll be minutes taken, which Marissa is going to be doing. Typically, you follow the agenda. The public can attend. You cannot set conditions to their attendance. There'll be an agenda. The clerk's office will make sure that that is published online as required by the law. And, of course, notice to the public, which is the big thing.
And is Marissa taking the minutes?
Marissa will be taking the minutes. It doesn't have to be done necessarily at the time of the meeting, as long as she's recording it, and then she can do the meeting minutes afterwards. Special meetings, I don't know that this board is ever going to have a special meeting, but you might have an occasion to. Something that's not on your regularly scheduled meetings, you can do it. You just have to give 24 hours notice. Ms. Martin over there, her paper would be getting notice. And if you do have a special meeting, you are limited to talking just about what's on that agenda. You can't talk about other items. So if you have any questions about that, you should also ask Doris, or you can ask myself or Martha Lance, the attorney that will probably be on hand to field any legal questions throughout the process. Again, I don't think that this committee will ever go into an executive session. It's very limited in what you can go into an executive session for, what the purposes are. None of the purposes that are outlined in the statute really would meet with what this committee's prerogative is, but it is there. And some practical tips, your emailing, you can have a meeting by email. So it's very careful. You should be very careful to avoid passing on emails or replying all, because an email came in from Marissa and you hit a reply all that and you had a substantive question about something on the agenda, that's a meeting. So if you are thinking before one of your regularly scheduled meetings and you have a subject that you'd like to talk about, I would recommend that you go ahead and email that to Marissa and she'll make sure to get it on the agenda. Or you can let the chair know, and he can let Marissa know. But and another thing that I've had to talk to with some other clients is that social media, if you're chatting on Facebook and you have four of you that are all on the same thread or feed, I don't do Facebook, I'm sorry, that could also constitute a meeting. So that's something to be mindful of, that social media, under the right circumstances, can rise to a meeting, which would require notice. Now, if you want to email a message to everybody, you're just saying, here's the information that I found. For example, let's say let's say Ron is tasked with finding out something before the next meeting, he can disseminate that to the entire committee. That is not a problem. Again, if you start emailing back and replying all, the best thing I would recommend, just to be as careful as possible, is if you have some kind of documentation that you want to share with the entire board, again, forward it to your staff or Marissa, and she'll make sure to share it to the entire committee. So that's the strongest advice I can give on that one. Okay, next slide. Just so you know, if there is a knowing violation, it can subject a committee member to personal liability in the amount of $100, and any action that's taken by the committee would be considered null and void.
Can you back up the slide just real quick?
Sure.
So the first line of the email, okay, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you want to just make it clear, I'm just sending this out. This is just FYI purposes. Please do not reply. Mm-hmm. So that's also a practical thing you can do. And, of course, the big kicker, as I'm sure Diane knows, in any OPMA action or challenge, it's always the attorney's fees and legal costs, which end up being the biggest hit to the wallet. So that's the OPMA. Are there any questions?
So we can't have a meeting that lasts from now to the end of the year via email? We'll just announce it and we'll be good.
No, I think generally everything that this board, all of the actions that this board will be taking will be open. There are, you know, you're not discussing real estate purchases, you're not discussing an appointed official's performance,
the evaluations,
or anything like that. So none of the things that would justify a closed session would come into play with this committee. So it's all going to be open and transparent, and most of you are already familiar through your civic duties and other with other agencies or bodies. So the next one is Public Records Act, which is codified in Chapter 4256 that applies to all state and local agencies, including this committee. It's very liberally construed, and basically it means that all public records have to be maintained, and they can be turned over upon request to anybody that wants them. And a public record basically is any writing relating to government performance. Now, writing, writing is very broadly construed. Basically, it's any kind of media format. Text messages, emails, documents, maps, just anything can be considered a public record. Next slide. Oh, there's my graphics. Okay.
Look at them.
There are narrow exceptions to the Public Records Act when the agency can either redact or withhold records. They're construed very narrowly. Again, the presumption of the act is that most records are to remain open. An exemption has to be authorized in law, either specifically in the language of the Public Records Act, or sometimes there's another federal law source that might create a privacy entrance or a basis for a redaction. There is no general privacy exemption, so any notes that you might take and you might write something about somebody on there, be very cognizant of what you're doing, because your notes will be considered a public record. And there is no general privacy exemption, which, you know, people frequently find out to their peril. So basically, the notes that you'll be taking, any emails that you're receiving or sending will generally be considered a public record. As far as, like, for example, the agenda that you might receive via email, you need to retain that only as long as you need it for, because the actual record will be kept by the clerk's office. Do the next one. Things that you can quickly delete are, you know, hey, let's go out for a drink after this meeting, it was a rough one tonight, or transitory records, which are really, they don't have any retention value. These are what I'm talking about. It's like, we have a meeting, here's the agenda. As long as you're done with it and you have no further business need, you can delete that. But other than that, you know, what you're going to be doing is going to be public records. Now, what you're doing even on your personal computers or your personal phones are also going to be considered public records. So even though it might be on your personal computer, the work that you're doing may be considered a public record. So I would suggest from a practical standpoint, if you could do the next thing, segregate them all, put them on a different thumb drive or a separate file on your computer. If you have a text message, figure out a way to segregate that or print it out. I don't use my phone for personal or for business at all. I never have, so I'm not even sure how I would do that. But I know people are more technologically minded than I am. You want to keep everything that you're doing in connection with this committee. And it's important to know that you can't delete or alter or destroy those records. And from a practical standpoint, what it might be easier for you to do is when you're done with all this and all the work that you've done, give it to
Doris,
I'm sorry. And the clerk's office will retain and keep those records in the event that they need to be produced later. And you can probably assume that there will be a public records request connected with the work that you're doing here at some point. More likely, there'll be multiple requests. So, again, you want to hold on to that stuff, retain it all, and then you can provide it to Doris so that they can maintain it and hold on to it properly. Are there any questions about that? I'm not scaring anybody. I mean, you guys look like you're probably expecting a lot of this. Okay. And again, this is enforced through the courts. The court can consider mitigating and aggravating factors, and the key is always the attorney's fees and costs, because that is generally the highest fiscal cost imposed with enforcing a public records request. Are there any questions about that?
Well, can you give us a couple of examples of situations for citizen commissions like this have goofed up and wound up gone afoul of these laws?
Well, from some of the cases that we've seen out there, sometimes people will email things through their personal emails, trying to avoid creating a public record on that. They've had to, you know, the party that's raising the challenge will actually go and ask for the personal computer to actually be reviewed in camera so that the court can determine whether there's anything on that computer that's actually responsive to the public records request. So the penalty factors that are involved, the courts can impose up to $100 a day per record for each day that the agency is in violation. And so I think that there was one agency that got dinged for like $800,000 recently. And then I'm not sure how much the attorney's fees involved with that were, but I'm sure it was in the 5 or 6 digits on that one. I'm sure you would agree with me on that.
My firm represents the News Tribune, so we get into the public records grapples regularly. I mean, just reading the newspaper, was there a lawsuit filed by Walmart or somebody against the city council? That's pending?
That's pending. I can't talk about it, but yeah. So yes, litigation takes all forms. So, but again, the key takeaway here is just to remember that everything you're doing is in an open forum, and all the work that you're doing, any of the documents that you're creating, whether it's written notes, the report, the emails regarding this, those all are public records with retention value. And so your responsibility is to hold on to them and to take it out of your hands. It might be easier just to provide them all to Doris when you're done with them. And then that way, if there is a public records request 6 months down the road, 12 years down the road, or 12 months down the road, then we won't have to come back and bother you. Doris will already have all the records.
So you have to remember that this is an ongoing commission. Mm-hmm. You have 3 years to maintain your records, and you know if you leave the commission or then at that point you would turn over whatever you had to turn over. And just to keep it separate. I mean, so when you go home tonight, you know, I'm the first thing that you should do on your computer is to make a separate file. Mm-hmm. And whatever emails you get, you're just dropping mm-hmm. everything in. If yeah. it's of value, you're just dropping everything mm-hmm. in so that should a public records request come in and I go to you and say, we have a public records request, give me everything mm-hmm. you have, mm-hmm. you drop that whatever's in the file mm-hmm. folder on a thumb drive and then we produce mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So
put your hard copies in a separate folder at home.
Mm-hmm. Don't intermix yeah. personal with this commission's work.
You say separation. Is our personal emails the only means of communication for the board?
You can set up an email. If you'd like, you could set up mm-hmm. a separate email simply for the commission's work.
That might mm-hmm. be easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually that's a good idea. You can set up a separate email account.
Can the city do it? So they can just keep it backed up. Exactly.
Well, it wouldn't be on our servers, and that's why I think even a Gmail or Gmail-based account, you know, the one that you can designate solely for this committee.
We're not paying employees, so they probably wouldn't want to give us a...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason.
Yeah. Because you're, you know, the email address itself, somebody could ask for that, and if you don't want your email address that you use for personal things or that you get bank statements from or anything of that nature, that in itself would be disclosable, you know. So I don't think that we'd have any basis to actually, you know, withhold that. So having something separate and designated solely for this committee's activities is
a good practice.
Sound practice, yeah.
What about stuff that's been emailed already?
Open your file, make a file and drop it in there.
Yeah. Okay. And then follow up with Doris if you do create it, or if you do have it.
Create
email.
A different email mm-hmm. so that we can update our records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I understand that, especially when you're talking about citizens that are volunteering their time to do this. It's mm-hmm. you're not doing this regularly. You're not used to having, you know, living under the potential microscope that, you know, full-time city staffers are used to. So, I mean, I understand why you want to do that. Mm-hmm. I would do the same thing if I were you. I think that's a good idea, and that way you're still making sure that you've got everything segregated and available and can be disclosed if need be. So,
any other questions? Thank you very much, Jennifer, sure. for coming down and giving us that.
Sure. Thank you for your patience. I tried to trim that one down. That's the short version. So.
Yes.
And good luck, and thank you guys for your
thank
service,
you
for too. I know that time. It's appreciated.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Do this without pulling the...
So the next...
good to see you, Diane.
Good to see you.
I know.
So the next thing on the agenda is future meeting dates. So let's sort of, we have till September 1st. We're going to do a lot of work in the next, you guys are going to do a lot of work in the next month. And your report is due to the council on September 1st. So we have the month of August to get a lot of work done, depending on certainly the conversation that you all are going to have or and the if there's any kind of work that we need to do as staff members in terms of research projects or anything like that. So we need to find a common ground that everybody can come comfortably and for the next 4 weeks.
So are we going to be getting materials from anybody, or will we have to ask them for them if we want to help make recommendations?
So it's going to be mostly you'll be asking.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to brainstorm as much as I could over the last couple of days on what I could provide to you in terms of just sort of getting the conversation started. So what I provided was qualifications of the council members, some of their duties, and all those are incorporated in the charter, as well as I gave you the rules and procedures of the council. There are other things, of course, that you can look at. State law, you have to be careful and make sure that you look at the council manager form of government and state law and what the qualifications of a council member are. You can certainly talk to council members and see what they think or how they're doing and how much time they're using as a council member to kind of do some evaluations.
They don't track that. I mean, the city of general doesn't track how much time they're voting, no?
Mm-mm. Some they're part-time council members and the mayor's full-time, and it just really sort of depends on how much time that the council member wants to. Some council members are more active than other council members. All of them are here on Tuesdays because that's when their business meeting is. That's also when their study session is, although there are committee meetings that they attend as well. So depending on which committee meeting they're on, they may be attending a meeting on Monday night if they're on the neighborhoods committee, and on Wednesday night if they're on government performance and finance committee or the IPS committee, and then they may have a meeting. And this isn't every week; like it may be two times a month, or the first and third, or the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And
I just have a couple questions, and we'll talk about the salaries in a moment. But it seems to me that default is no change unless there's a compelling reason to change. So what is the recommendation that we're being asked for? Is that described anywhere?
I think what the recommendation is just to sort of look at their salary and see if, to make a determination if they should, one, remain the same or be increased, or you can decrease it as well. So I think those are... And reasons for making...
Is it...
So for a conversation based on those examples.
Can I make a suggestion that we talk about the future meeting dates after we have a brief discussion of the salary stuff? So
sure.
That we can kind of judge.
Yeah, right, yeah. How much work is going to... time is going to take. So is the... Is it possible to get background, like the history of what the salaries have been, say, over the last 5 or 10 years?
I had asked earlier on because I was getting freaked out about the date timeline for comparables. So we did get someone, I don't know who pulled it together, but...
The human resources pulled this together for you. And
so
that's just a comparison around the region.
But do we know, like, how many of the council managers have a full-time mayor, as opposed to a part-time mayor? Because it's always been my understanding that if you have a council manager form of government, frequently the mayor is not full-time.
So I think it sort of varies. And again, depending on the city, and there's really nothing written that says that our council members are part-time, and I don't think there's... I don't know if there's anything, I can't recall anything. There may be something that says that the mayor is a full-time mayor, but I think they're all really sort of part-time positions, because each and every one of them, not each and every one of them, but some of them have another job. You heard them refer to them as their day job. Our mayor just happens not to have she uses her position as a full-time. So she's here a lot. It sort of feels like it's a full-time, but I don't know that it's necessarily written anywhere that it's a full-time position.
So something like, Diana, some history would be helpful. I'd like to know what basis of the current salaries were set. What was there a recommendation that was made from someone that, cited some criteria? My feeling is, that discussion by us of what criteria we would use to make a good decision might be helpful.
Okay.
There's no market for elected officials. So there's not like we're competing with Bellevue for the best possible mayor. So that makes a kind of a decision about what's fair and what's the sweet spot for this kind of a salary, kind of a hard one to nail down. So I think anything that we would have that would point to some...
Where it all began.
Who made the last recommendation and what basis did they decide that they should be at the current level?
And I do know currently there is an ordinance that where the council gets a raise, a 2.75% raise annually.
So if we make no recommendation, they get a 2.75% raise. Mm-hmm. When is that?
In every year. The end of the year, so the beginning of the next year.
It's been going on since 1991 when it was voted on or voted in.
As I recall, I think Mayor Ebersole was the mayor at that point.
Yeah, I was just trying to find it again. And then also on top of that, they get a voted raise, correct? Because I'm like I said, I'm trying to find it again. But there was a 0% raise for 2015, like a 1% raise.
So the council automatically gets 2.75 every year.
Correct.
They can't vote in a raise for themselves. They can vote in a raise, right, but it wouldn't pertain to the sitting council right now. Mm-hmm. So so they could vote a raise in for the council members and the mayor, but it wouldn't affect the sitting council. They would have to run for election. It would be the next election term on whoever gets elected at that time.
Most definitely not based on population. Mm-mm. I thought it was at first until I saw Everett with half our...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, as Richard said, there's not really a quantifiable kind of matrix for an elected official. I think some of these we should just come up with questions that we're going to have to kick back to staff,
mm-hmm,
and maybe not eat so much time up right now, but formulate questions that we want to send to staff, which will facilitate our next meeting. Just a thought.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So one of my questions is if we made, so for sake of discussion, an hourly recommendation, is there a mechanism for tracking that at the city? So if we said, hey, it's going to be like Spokane and it's going to be X dollars an hour, if you get put on a committee and you put that much time in, is there a mechanism for actually running payroll that way?
I'll check what they do.
I do believe that they are city employees, and that's how they're paid now, through payroll. They are considered city employees, so they are.
But their hours aren't necessarily tracked, is what you were saying before.
Mm-mm.
Does that even comply with like LNI law?
Yeah, I think if you're a salaried employee, they break it out by your hours to come up with what your daily pay rate or weekly is.
Yeah, I would assume if they got hurt somehow, if an angry citizen throws something at them, they would be covered by LNI, I would think.
But what I'm saying is if you have no hour threshold or tracking or set standard or anything like that. But anyway, that's
I can check in to see.
You probably have a formula based on it.
They got to have something.
So many a week, so many hours a week.
Well, if it's just a monthly salary, it'd be like any other professional employee.
Yeah,
except professional employee.
Isn't it like 1,080 hours for the year?
2,080.
2,080.
So it's just, you work as much as you want.
I'm doubtful they're paying L&I on 2,080 for all of them, but... Maybe they're exempt. I don't know. There might be an exemption.
I digress on the last. They don't. It was something else I was thinking of as far as the other pay raises. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's it.
And I think this is why we are the body that's been assembled, is because nobody. It's not something that's easily quantifiable and potentially very politicized.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It should be.
Yeah.
What should be?
Was there a commission prior to us? Because it says here in the charter that we're supposed to meet beginning of 2015 and meet every year. After, was there a body before us?
So no.
Okay.
So it just took a while for the committee to get up and running.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little bit of the mayor had a whole bunch of things on her plate,
mm-hmm,
and so it took her a little bit longer to get her members appointed. So once we got them appointed, then we started meeting as fast as we could. So, no, it just got a little bit of a late start.
Okay.
That's all right. We're going to hit the ground running, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, be positive, then. It's all positive.
It's all good.
I like Joseph's idea of this. What do we want Marissa to get for us? And then we can have something to actually consider when we meet next. Right now, I feel like I have no basis for making a recommendation at all for anything.
So we can take it upon ourselves and divide it down by what we think they work in hours. And
oh, I think you're going to have some people who work a lot and are well worth more than what we're paying them, and other people who don't put in much and they aren't worth it. I think it varies widely. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you base it on merit, it's going to be impossible.
Well, right, and you have some people who are productive in less time, and yeah. You have some people who are going to tell you they work 40 hours, but 30 hours of it's trying to get reelected the next time.
Yeah,
and they're going to call that work, and so you kind of have. My general thought is I look at comparisons and say, hey, what are we comparing? We should ask council to estimate hours, so we have a ballpark idea. And see whether it's anywhere close.
Job duties and hours.
Maybe not even job duties, because it's going to vary. But just say, hey, what's your average hours? We're going to ask for a history of how they got to where they're at. You know, kind of the basis of where it's at currently. And then I'd be happy to basically just drop this into a spreadsheet and kind of run it by population and type or that kind of thing, and say, hey,
if we do that, that would be great.
What would this look like?
Because some of the questions that I have, I'd love to know if the U.S. Mayors, U.S. Conference of Mayors, has some ideas about setting mayoral salaries. Mm-hmm. I mean, this issue comes up everywhere that there's mayor, and there has to be somebody came up with something. I'd love to know, or is the ICMA have anything on setting? Elected official salaries in the council manager city.
So. Even some of the universities have, you know, I know Harvard has a kind of a public elected persons kind of thing that many of the council members here have attended in summers past.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of data they have, or if it's strictly kind of academic on how to, you know, move things through processes, but again, the more we can quantify it. I think, you know, from listening to some of the comments, we should be careful that we're not here necessarily to I think quantify somebody's workload of how many hours and to be the gatekeeper of that. And I don't know if that's equitable.
And I also think you have to be really careful when you start comparing to other cities, because you don't know what they're doing, how many times they meet, what kind of hours they have. I mean, you could probably. Maybe you'd be able to find out, but it'd take a lot of work to figure that out.
The politics of this also, I suspect this is also a rationale for why they created this commission. In my previous experience, if the council didn't like the mayor, they would hold the salary back. And if they liked the mayor, the salary would be accelerated. So it's kind of, I suspect that's one rationale for having some a little more independent judgment of it. But if I don't know, if it's okay, Marissa, if you could you check with some of these official bodies that, you know, are these U.S. Conference of Mayors, ICMA, see if they have anything about setting elected official salary?
Certainly. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think would be helpful to know is what the general City of Tacoma employees generally, what the salary increases and stuff have been. I know it's got really confused because they implemented that thing a number of years ago about getting some salaries more on par with others. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there's any type of, you know, human resources document kind of talking about the.
I can look into it.
Oh yeah, some kind of a table of.
Well, yeah, well, that kind of would like what the average. I mean, is everybody getting a 2. Whatever percent?
7.75.
Increase every year. Or is it just the council member as a mayor? And if you know.
That's a great question.
The unions negotiate that every year, but the salaried employees, I think, all get them at the same time if there is anything. But I can certainly look into that. Okay.
It'd be interesting also to know, comparatively to the population that the elected positions serve, what this part-time salary is compared to the average wage that somebody makes yearly in Tacoma. If it's three times more than what the average is, I think.
Kind of like what's the median, kind of the demographics of Tacoma, median salary, that sort of thing, or median income.
Because ultimately, that's what creates the tax base that pays that wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
So would that be possible to get that, or some type of census data?
Yeah, I'll look into it and see what kind of information I can get for that. I wrote it down.
And I think if there's more of those, we kind of throw the questions out, and then I don't know whether we need a motion to request that information, but just include a whole list of them, and then you can just ask.
So, and if you think of anything else that you would like before the next meeting, and, you know, this certainly sounds like a good chunk of information, you can certainly email Marissa or I, and we can start working on getting you that information as well.
Do you have any sense how long it will take to get that information?
I have no sense of that at all.
Yeah, one thing I'm curious, is there any cluster of cities that Tacoma normally compares with? Is it some subset of this list that we've been given? Again, it's funny because there's no market, and I don't know, Eastern Washington, I'm not sure is particularly interesting, or Kirkland.
Spokane's pretty comparable in terms of...
So I don't know. I just feel like some of these things, there's a whole long list of... I gather these are council-managed cities with mayors.
Delineated. Mm-hmm. I've always often heard Spokane compared. I think Vancouver is comparable population size. And it's next to a kind of a larger city in Portland, so that might actually kind of be the Tacoma-Seattle comparison.
I figured out that the $82.65 an hour is $131,912 if you're full-time. And likewise, I don't know what to say about council member salaries. So, there could be anything.
So what about meeting next Monday?
That would work well for me.
I have a prior engagement next Monday.
Are we going to do it kind of ad hoc, where that always fits our schedule, or should we look at a set date and, you know, if it can be made, it can be made? Or
I mean, I could do all the Tuesdays through August, or, you know, I don't know how many more we'll need, or... I mean, if we get to next Tuesday or we get to next Monday and we have none of the information, it doesn't make sense to meet either.
Mm-hmm. You said Tuesday.
I can do Tuesdays, yes. I was just looking at that.
I'm on an 8-day rotation for work, 12-hour, two 12-hour days, two 12-hour nights, 4 days off. So kind of my work schedule is going to be wrecked, and I'm going to take a big hit financially.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you normally work evenings? Is that the...
No, it's a 7:30 shift.
Oh.
So, like, today is my second day shift. So then tomorrow I'll work, start my two night shifts.
Oh.
And then I get 4 days off after that, or three and a half.
Mm-hmm. It's a sacrifice.
So, like, today I'd taken, like, $100 hit to come down here.
Oh.
Wow. There's a commitment.
That is a commitment. You got to buy this guy...
No kidding. Do you have any cookies? I don't know.
So what, is there a format, I guess this is kind of includes how much we need to meet, is there a format that the report has to be in?
So the legislation that created the, you mean in terms of what the,
right.
the document
so we could
itself?
Just say we recommend the city council adopt this salary. And for the mayor, it's this salary, and that's the end of it. We don't have to have background information.
I think you're going to want to give some kind of...
You say there's a format that I'm familiar with, I still use, is recommended action and rationale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be fairly straightforward.
So basically, in terms of process, we're looking at, like, we've got to discuss, kind of settle on something, we've got to draft something, and then we've got to basically approve the draft.
Wow.
And this all has to be done by September 1st.
Yeah, I just think that's so ridiculous, if I may say.
It's a tight timeline. But other than, I guess, the dates, I mean, you know, what times are we going to meet? What times do you think we should meet? I personally think it should be at the 6 o'clock hour or later, just to accommodate any potential public participation. I mean, I don't know how interested the public is, but I think they should have an opportunity to
sure. yeah.
to be involved or observe.
I think 6 o'clock is good for me. I feel badly for Robert because it's gonna, although it sounds like it may or may not
matter,
be conflict.
Like I'm saying, it doesn't matter what day. I just need to know in advance when it is, so I can either switch days with somebody or my work can try to remember to schedule because they didn't remember today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I just I move we meet at 6 on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Tentatively plan on for the rest of the month, but I'm a big believer if we're able to get it all done or don't need to meet all those days, we don't meet all those days.
I would then suggest also at 6 o'clock on the 31st.
Yeah, I know Monday I can't make that one.
Okay. Okay. Well, just to have that on the calendar. So it's the 11th, 18th, and 21st.
So is that a motion then?
Well, yeah.
So we need a second to that motion.
Oh. Can you restate the motion?
Were you making a motion, Diane?
I was making a motion that we meet on the three remaining Tuesdays of the month, the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th.
Right.
I'll second. With the hopes that, you know, we don't need to meet all those, but
is just there any discussion?
I'm talking about what minority opinion after the vote's taken?
No, you should discuss it right now while it's sitting on the vote on the table.
Yeah.
Ron, is there a difficulty or
Okay.
So here's the thing about the these will become your regular meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also have special meetings so if you think that you need to meet another day during the week, we would call those then special meetings, mm-hmm. and we would have a particular subject only that you could talk about at those meetings. Mm-hmm. So your regular meetings will be every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and then anything additional to those meetings would become special meetings.
Okay, I can't meet on the 18th. I've already scheduled a convention. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out of town, so I won't be able to meet that meeting.
Yeah.
We'll still have a quorum. So.
Yeah, you'll have a quorum. The 25th is the same for me, but it's just I think we need to press on.
Yeah.
Right, whoever's here gets to make the decision.
I do like the idea of her leaving the 31st open for a final, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For who can, if we can get a quorum.
But in terms of notice, we wouldn't have to give notice of, what kind of notice do we have to have? She said that for regular meeting.
To make a special.
Right, so tomorrow, Marissa will make a notice that the Salary Commission has decided that Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, are you comfortable with meeting in this room?
Mm-hmm.
In this room will be your regular meetings. We will advertise that in our official newspaper of the city, which is the Tacoma Daily Index. We will send out a special press notice.
Did we vote on
that? I was going to say, we do have a motion.
We're still in the discussion.
Just maybe if we can not... I mean, everyone can just kind of plan on that, and then we say, hey, we're going to meet the 11th and the 18th, and then we can make a call where we're at the end of the 11th.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of, putting them all out there and then having to cancel if we don't need it or that kind of thing.
So canceling is not...
That's easy?
Yeah.
It is that easy. It is simply... The Salary Commission has canceled their meeting of name the date, and we send it out.
And
24 hours notice. We'll do the 24 hours notice.
And then the special meetings are just as easy. Just
it's 24 hours notice. You have to give 24 hours notice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That you're having a
special
meeting.
Or a cancellation.
Yeah, not so much a cancellation, but.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, are we ready to move forward with the motion?
To any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'll second. The notion.
We have a second. We do.
Oh,
good job, Bill. Good job.
No, that's okay. All opposed.
You'll get the next one.
So the motion carries. We're scheduled meetings for the next three Tuesdays.
Yeah,
all right.
I'd like 6 o'clock in the same room.
I don't know if it needs a motion, but when we talk about our agendas going out,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we offer the public on the agenda an opportunity to comment on the agenda prior to starting the meetings or however you would like it, but I think that's important that we do have that in place at a time.
Okay. What is public comment?
He would like it at the beginning of the meeting.
Oh, okay.
So
to approve, we have to approve the agenda, right? Or they get to... add or
change? So they get to discuss, make a comment of whatever's on the agenda and on their mind. I think the where it's at here is on the agenda tonight that was drawn up for us, but but we should determine how we want our agendas to go.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you would like public comment at the beginning of the meeting, is that after the roll call?
Yes.
Okay.
Shouldn't they know what's on the agenda before they make comment? Or
well, the agenda will get published.
Okay.
So you're asking for them to basically write in public comment?
Well, not necessarily. The boards and commissions that I've been on in the past have offered the public an opportunity to participate, you know, to comment on the the agenda, you know, whatever position they may have or stance. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you get it out of the way at the beginning, then you can kind of move on to your business, so to speak.
Yeah, I like that as a sequence. I just would just remind all of us that a voice in the room, there's still 201,000 other people not in the room that have a point of view, too. But I think it's accommodating the public who may want to talk makes sense to me. And at the beginning, it seems pretty efficient. I don't know, what do you think?
I'm fine with that. I don't be doubtful if we have too much participation with the amount of timeline that we have here.
And, you know, hopefully we can be efficient and move along. But you know, it is potentially a could be politicized, I guess, and to not allow the public an opportunity to comment. You know, even though we're not required to, I think
you're not required to, but
I don't think I'd want to.
So the other part of that is, how long would you like to give the public to comment? Typically, it's 3 minutes.
No more than that.
Yeah.
Okay. We did your total.
No.
Because
obviously,
you can 2 minute
limit.
Per person.
Per person. Yeah. That's fine.
So, is there a consensus on that?
That's 3 minutes. Yeah.
3 minutes. Can we put a maximum?
Three minutes
is the maximum.
No, not that's per person, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the chair at any time.
So like we're not going past 15 minutes of public comment.
So at any time, if there is a sort of a whole bunch of people, the chair, at the discretion, you guys may want to give the chair permission to cut it down to 1 minute or 2 minutes. You can certainly do that as well.
Dorothy, are you here each time, or is it Marissa is the,
Marissa will
the voice
be
of reason?
Marissa will be the voice of reason. So Tuesday nights I have council meetings,
okay.
You guys just threw me out.
Yeah. Don't take it personally. And the agenda, it's actually a question I think Karen asked, but so how do we set the agenda? Is that
the
just
chair would drop
Terry
it, right?
Does that? Or
yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or maybe even, you know, I'd like to see this on the, you know, again, I'd like to see this on the agenda. Whoever you're emailing, you email the chair, you email Marissa.
Okay.
Marissa puts it on the agenda.
Okay. Got it.
And typically there's always going to be like a new business and old business section of the meeting, right?
We could do that.
For a discussion. I mean.
Are we required to review minutes of the prior meeting?
You will approve your minutes if the minutes can be turned around fast. So
we don't need old business, new business, like minutes and whatever we need to talk about.
I don't think we've.
So the other part of the minutes that we really need to talk about too are action minutes. We do action minutes. Mm-hmm. We certainly will not be doing verbatim minutes. Mm-hmm. So it'll be high level summary action.
Yeah.
So remember, you're always recorded. Recordings. So the other thing, we have set up a website.
Website. Wow.
We can't get emails, but we got a website.
Oh my goodness, we do.
Fantastic. Wow.
Look at that. Looks really efficient.
Hey, do you have our photographs?
Put something.
Yeah.
A big heart of our faces.
Get to the website by going to cityoftacoma.org, and then you go to government, and we are committees, boards, and commissions.
Okay.
That's very important. Yeah.
And you'll scroll down and find us as salary commission.
Oh. Awesome.
Wow. And learn more about the Salary Commission.
We should take a look at that.
Yeah.
So you go to cityoftacoma.org.
I know. I have to fix your name. I'm sorry.
Who, me? Yeah. Oh, I wasn't even noticing that. Where am I? Oh, yeah.
District 5.
I don't know where we got Robert. I'll be very curious to see how that changed or where it got changed. So the other part of it will, you have to go to Legistar, but to, I think, to, so the audio will be posted each week. The minutes will be posted as they are approved by the commission. Go to one of the other boards, or it's probably on Legistar. Or go to one of the
September 1st, then the job for the year?
Well, then to next year. I mean, one of the things that I might do is, I don't know if we can request like budget dollars to have salary studies done every, at least incrementally. Mm-hmm. Down the road, it's not going to happen this year, obviously. But.
Mm-hmm. So you're at McClanahan? Chris Lilly still principal?
He is, yeah.
How long have you been there?
Since December. Took over for a retiring bookkeeper. I've been there 28 years. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Chris and I are old.
You put it up on the computer now, right?
it's moving in that direction. A lot of stuff to move, but yes.
So, so this is what it will look like when we... On this side you'll have agendas and minutes once we get it up and so it'll look like that.
Gotcha.
So how long should we have our meetings? I mean, are we going like 6 to 8 or are we gonna limit these, 6 to 7:30 or
I think the goal is 6 to 7:30.
Yeah, 90 minutes.
Or less.
Yeah. I think we should limit them to that.
Sounds good.
Is there a motion on the table to limit the meetings to 90 minutes?
There's your turn.
Second.
No, you have to make a motion.
You have to make a motion. So moved. Yes.
Yeah. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
It's a good plan.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Now, if we get done before our 90 minutes, we can adjourn early.
Yes.
No, you have to sit here. Hold your hands and sit here.
So here's... I'll wait till you're done writing there. Another, I guess... So I can even try to look it up, is that salary increase that we have, the cost of living or whatever you want to call it, the 2 3/4 per year, is that just for the Tacoma area or is that for all of Washington or just Western Washington?
So the all that we're always talking about is the city limits. You're talking just about the city of Tacoma in this environment.
But we need a comparison. I mean, you know, we're talking about how are we supposed to be able to, you know, make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
So a comparison for like Spokane or...
Oh, you mean whether or not they're getting...
Oh, yeah. What are they getting for their yearly increases?
So whether or not they have automatic. Are you talking automatic?
Yes.
Okay.
Or I would just go past that and say, what is the plan for 2016 for these other... other elected official, did they have an automatic adjustment? Do they have some kind of an increased plan at this point? What's the scoop?
Right.
And I think maybe we could, can we limit that? Because just for the sake of her research to what we think is the most comparable, like say taking this list, which is this...
Well, like I said, Spokane.
Is this like the largest cities in Tacoma or in Washington? Is that why this was...
I think they're the medium to large size cities that they can compare it to. Obviously, they probably didn't want to do DuPont and Weston and Milton, maybe, as a comparison. But there are about 4 cities in there with comparable populations.
Right, so maybe like Bellevue, Vancouver, Spokane,
Kent.
I'm not even really sure about Bellevue. I mean, their mayor's salary is only...
I'm more interested in what's happening in Tacoma Pierce County. Yeah. What's the average cost of living that's issued with wages in the district that you know is voting for salaries and budgets, you know, essentially through their tax dollars. And
I'm sure there's some sort of a like Joseph's idea, like just a comparison even of the some kind of something I'm sure is available online.
Right.
There's some kind of a table of city median income?
I think
they have it. It's stale by a couple of years.
But no, I think we just released a new one. I think the budget office just released, it seemed to have read, just a recent report. So we can certainly get you a copy of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just, my thought process was just if we're going to compare, then we should compare like all aspects, mm-hmm. not just one aspect here, yeah. one aspect over there.
No, I agree.
One of the confusing things here is are we moving into a discussion?
I thought we had the discussion before.
We're still talking about what we want. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I just think one of the confusing things for us is the council manager versus strong mayor forms. And, the prominence of Tacoma in Pierce County versus the prominence of Bellevue and King County, very, very different situations. Mm-hmm. And yet they are looking at council manager cities. We're the biggest council manager city in the state. So I struggle with, that's one of the questions I think is difficult to, when trying to come up with a fair recommendation. I think it's hard to sort that out.
And, in a lot of these council manager cities where they have the council, they're sort of like the mayor is rotated.
Yes, right.
So we have a little bit of a different system here where the mayor gets elected, and I assume the responsibilities and expectations are different as a result. But I don't know. But I do know, I was reading a story in the paper today about Bothell, and the guy who used to be mayor is now just on the council, and there's somebody else who's rotated in the position of mayor. So that, I think that kind of explains why in some cities there's probably not that much of a huge, you get a little bit of a bump up while you're the figurehead, so to speak, but you're basically doing the same job.
But yeah, couldn't we, as part of that, just request the manager's salary? And my bet is that you're going to have kind of some sort of blended trend, and you can like identify that. When you have a full-time person in that role, it's going to be... So when the mayor is a...
You mean like the city manager's salary?
Right. So when that person...
Isn't that what this is right here?
No,
that's the mayor's salary. So they might have a manager making 123 grand who's doing 90% of the work that Tacoma's mayor is doing.
Yeah. I gotcha.
The difficulty is, though, that there is a market for city managers. You're competing nationwide for someone to be a city manager. There's, like I mentioned before, there is no market for mayors.
Well, there is. There is a marketplace rate.
I don't know. I guess it is.
It's an average of what they're paid.
Well, when I think of market, I think there's no. You're not going to be competing with other cities for the mayor. The mayor is going to be a resident who's elected to that role. So, whereas with city managers, you're going to definitely compete nationwide for someone to fill that slot. So you have a very different competitive circumstance for trying to determine what is an appropriate and fair salary. You have some definite comparators for the manager. You don't have that. I mean, you have a point of reference. And that's where, the idea of an informed and fair decision, I think, is that's where I think all this information would be helpful. In the end, it's going to be, what do we think is fair?
Mm-hmm. And so, the city manager isn't elected either. He's appointed by the mayor. So this is just elected officials. So I don't think
he's... Correction, he's not appointed. He's hired by the city council.
Yeah.
To then approve that hiring. Yeah.
So, Marissa, what do you think your information you think you're going to collect for us?
So,
I've been keeping up.
Okay, yeah. So, basically, the basis and history of how we got to the current salary. So, maybe the last 10 years. Does that sound reasonable to everyone?
Sure.
It's a good number.
Going from memory, I think you alluded to it. One of the councils almost 20 years ago voted a raise, and I'm sure there was some portion of the citizenry not happy, and then it became a charter amendment that
passed. Well, it was just, it was an ordinance.
Yeah.
My total memory isn't very good anymore, but I thought Mayor Ebersole, I think, was the mayor at the time. They had a discussion on council salaries, mayor and council salaries, and I believe that, of course, there was an ordinance in front of them. And then they voted on a 2.75% increase to be done yearly. So, of course, the sitting council and mayor and council didn't get that, but as people started being elected into the position, that was when they started to get the... And now, of course, it's been 10 years and everybody gets it.
Yeah, and are you aware of whether any of the councils between now and then voted to increase the salary of the subsequent council?
No, they have not.
Okay. They have not increased... So historically, there's been no increase above the 2.75%?
No.
I move that. I'm sorry.
No, we I don't think
we
I need it.
You got it done tonight. Sorry.
No, that's
that would be wrong.
I don't know. Does anyone still think we need that?
We can certainly, you know, I want to get definite information to you and the ordinance number that was created and maybe the minutes or of the meeting or you know something to give you guys something to go on.
Okay, and then we have the city median income.
Mm-hmm. City. Yeah, the kind of just a broader demographic picture of
You know, what's the average person make in Tacoma? And, you know, I'm assuming that our council members and mayors are people just like we all are. And, you know, how does that compare to what their neighbors might be then potentially making, you know? I hope I heard that.
You would ask for... information on like the national bodies.
Yes.
Yeah. How they are determining salaries.
But what advice do they have?
Right.
What advice do the national bodies have on determining?
So you named one. I don't remember.
U.S. Conference of Mayors and ICMA. U.S. Conference of Mayors and ICMA.
What's ICMA?
International City Managers Association. City Managers. Or it used to be. It's been a while.
I don't know what
it looks to be.
But the council,
if the Association of Washington Cities, too, AWC may have some information as well.
Yeah, and these are, you don't have to, I mean, if U.S. Conference of Mayors may not make sense, so AWC might be a good place to turn. Okay.
And then from there, does anyone think the city manager salary is relevant?
I don't
know.
And so that's all the information that we had asked for. And then one of my requests, and I don't know whether we need a motion for that, is if you have a format that we could use for the recommendation, just to basically prep that with blanks, given the timeline, if that's something you could do between now and then.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Do we need a motion for that? We don't
no.
need a motion.
We can
just, basically just, you know, draft it up, and then when we're done, we can kind of drop it in, and we can proofread before.
I can.
That would be what recommendations and our rationale for that.
Yeah, okay. It'll bring back fond memories.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have some pieces to fill in, but at least we have the template.
Yeah, that's
done. And then
Dropbox and let everyone chime in the city.
We can.
There you go. Yes.
There you go. And then I will kind of take this and just run some comparisons based on population and just see kind of what that looks like. So point of reference. I mean, it might be helpful to have some of this information for same format in other, outside of Washington. I don't know what like Oregon looks like. I mean, because you look at this in like council manager setups, we're like way high as far as the mayor concerned, and then mayor council, it's a little more reasonable in terms of like organization. So it'd be nice to have more comparables to the same structure, but you know, and the thing is, you can make in the position, since there's no like requirement in statute that you put your 20-80 hours in a year, you know, you kind of can make the job what you want in some regards, and that's historically what happens with these positions too. You know, just like some council members put a lot in and others don't.
Right. And I think in all fairness to our current council and any council, you know, they do put in a lot of time, non-traditional hours. I mean, you know, whether it's an emergency they're addressing on our behalf in the evening, or attending functions that raise our profile or position collectively as a city in a good light. You know, they are putting in hours. It just might not be in a traditional 9-to-5.
The only piece of data I would like...
Testifying down in Olympia, so there.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it's my business. I can tell you that our mayor and our council members work very hard.
Yeah, I can say the good ones are kept for more than they can possibly give. That's the reality. The one thing, kind of piggybacking on what Joseph said, I'd love to know, with these comparison cities, not just our, what does a person make in Tacoma, what does a person on average make in some of our comparison communities that we're looking at, Bellevue, for example, or Vancouver, or Spokane? I mean, how do we stack up income-wise?
That's what I was bringing up earlier.
Yeah, okay, so...
Sorry.
No, that's good. We're in the same...
Yeah.
Robert and I.
That's cool.
Great minds think alike, I guess. Yeah. I don't have to say.
I've got it written down. We'll see what kind of information I can get on that.
Yeah. I know we get a very long list.
Any further discussion or questions? Otherwise, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
No.
We got more agenda items.
Public comment? Commission. Oh. I don't know what commission comments are, but anyway.
So commission comments are sort of, kind of, just if you had any additional information, if you had anything that you wanted to add, it was just another opportunity for any commission members to, talk about where they're going on vacation. I don't know why that's in there.
So is there a public comment from anyone?
Yes, thank you. Hi there. Thanks so much for your time. My name is Sherry Bachwinkle.
Sherry, it's 3 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will be less than that because you guys have all been here a very long time. I've been keeping notes from all the stuff that you guys have been working on tonight. You may have met me through email, and Tim Farrell, we sent some of the commissioners an email. And yours bounced. I don't know if I ever got yours corrected. So you didn't maybe get the packet. But anyway, we sent some information to you. And Tim Farrell cannot be here tonight, so he asked me to make a few comments representing some of our views. The state passed a salary commission in 1992, so you may want to look at the history of salary commissions and the work that they did, and you'll see the kinds of increases that were given out in the last years. Okay? Pierce County, same thing, salary commission. Same information there. You're going to find a lot of the kind of things that you were asking for in these documents. Great websites. I've been reading them for a couple of years. I've been following salary commissions since 1992. My background is I'm a journalist. I've spent 12 years at newspapers, and I have a small business in Tacoma, and I spend most of my time in a small retail shop, but I spend the most of my time following city council, as Doris can probably attest to. And this is one of my issues. I was the person on the charter amendment last year that voted to not create this commission because of the 2.75% increase. Because I asked the council people to remove that to untie your hands. I feel like having that 2.75% over hanging out here is a distraction. Just so you know, historically, since 2008, there has not been an elected official that has gotten a pay raise. There is no other elected official that gets an automatic pay raise. It is only Tacoma that does that. Only Tacoma. Right now, the city of Tacoma is negotiating with Union 17. They've offered zero percent for 2015. And let me read from the union report that says, in 2017, a quarter of a percent, and 2018, 1.25%. The union workers and all of our workers in Tacoma have been laid off. They have had take-backs in their pay. None of them have gotten pay raises during this time. The only people at all in the city who have gotten pay raises are the city council. I want you to remember that, as workers have not seen and felt those increases. 1992, this was created, and it was Bill, it was Brian Ebersole who created this. He wanted to be a strong, he wanted to be a full-time mayor. It was in 1992 they created full-time mayor. That's when the mayor's salary jetted up double. And the quid pro quo was for the council people to say, oh, okay, if you get that, we're going to get this automatic pay raise. Look it up. It'll be in the documents that she presents.
I think
this
think
is usually a six-month process
time.
That
Excuse
most...
Excuse me, ma'am. 3 minutes is up.
Okay.
I will conclude by saying
that it's a six-month process for you guys doing it in a month is tremendous. You'll need some good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Any commission comments, vacation plans?
I've already done my allotment for the year.
Kate, did you want
to? No, of course not.
Okay.
It's being recorded.
We're not going there yet.
Enjoy your self-employment.
I'll move to adjourn.
A second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Close. Nice habit. There we go.
Thank you, guys.
Nice meeting everybody.